Do you remember the last time we got together, Ahab, the wicked king, and his wife Jezebel? Wicked, wicked people. We looked at their character a little bit in the chapter prior to this. These weren't really solid individuals, but they were in charge. They were in control. And God said, you're going to die. And he specifically told him that the dogs would lick his blood in the streets. And it was because Ahab, well, let his wife run the house, number one. But number two, worshipped false gods. Something that was specifically, well, the first commandment, I am the Lord your God, you shall not have strange gods before me. I mean, it's all downhill from there. It was the first one that they shot. And so they're all gone. So Ahab, disobedient, disrespectful to the Lord, and God gave him opportunities to repent, opportunities to turn, opportunities to stop it, just as he's given you and me opportunities to repent. It's not always going to be this way, as you keep noticing the weather patterns and the violence in schools and etc. Something has got to give. I don't think we're headed for good times. We have a great opportunity tonight, before we share communion, to turn from anything we're into that we don't belong in, and to just stop it, drop it, leave it alone, get off of it, away from it, and just give ourselves completely and wholly back to God. He's giving us an opportunity. Interesting study, chapter 22. That's the last chapter, isn't it? Yes, in the book of 1 Kings. Interesting way to end the book. God gave him some space to repent. And here's what we see. They continued, chapter 22, 1 Kings, they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. Remember, Syria had attacked, and there were some threats, and God said, I'm going to give you the victory. Not because you've earned it, not because you're obeying me, but because I am merciful. I'll keep my word. All you need to do is be thankful and turn. Just as God is doing for you and I today. He has kept you to this point. And he's saying, turn. We read in the Old Testament that the reason sin continues on is because it is not punished instantly. That's the reason it's continuing on now in the world. Because it's not. Now, let's face it, if you stole a dollar from somebody's purse and they walked right in and cut your hand off, you only got one left, you'd think a lot harder and longer about using the other one to do something wrong. Some countries it does happen that way. But the Bible says, because punishment is slow in coming, sin increases. But remember, you look at people and it looks like they're getting away with it. Don't even think that way. David in the Psalms said, I watched people cheat and lie and walk over each other and do everything wrong, and they made it to the top. I saw them do that, and I started getting frustrated, and I said, why don't I do that? It's working. He said, but then I went into the house of the Lord and I remembered their end. He said, I stopped as I was praying in church, and God reminded me, trouble's coming for these who will not turn. And David said, I was glad to be walking with the Lord, because trouble is coming. Now, they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year, with no war going on, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now, don't misunderstand the King James language. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. That's the country in the south. Remember, Israel is basically a civil war. It's divided. The 10 tribes in the north and Judah and Benjamin in the south. But why does the Bible say then he came down to the king of the north? Because Israel is God's holy mountain, Mount Zion. And it's high in elevation, and you would come down from Israel to go anywhere. That's all it's saying. So don't think that God doesn't understand north and south and etc. And the king of Israel said to his servants, you know that Ramoth in Gilead belongs to us? And we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, had taken Ramoth Gilead, had captured it. And for 3 years now he's been holding it. And the king of Israel, Ahab, says, hey, that's our city. We ought to go do something about it. You know, wisdom in a case like that is leave it alone. It's been 3 years. If, you know, let's wait on the Lord here. But of course, Ahab is not someone who's interested in God. He goes, that's our city. They've held it 3 years, 3.5. Let's go get it. And he said to Jehoshaphat, what a name. He said, will you go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? Would you go with us? Would you join with us and go fight the Syrians? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses are as your horses. In other words, he could have just said, yeah, I'm with you. That's not how kings talked in those days. Jehoshaphat was an enemy of Ahab. Jehoshaphat was a good king. He followed the Lord, except in this case. He agreed for political reasons. Oh man, that would be neat. You know, he came to visit. It's kind of a political visit. They're not quite at war at this moment. There's been peace for a while. So the north and the south, Jehoshaphat comes up kind of like a political visit. Maybe they're having lunch together. And the king, Ahab, he says, let's go get, that city belongs to us. We're going to go fight the Syrians, take it away from them. Would you go with us and help us fight? Jehoshaphat, politically, for political reasons only, he said, yeah, we'll go. We're with you. He should not have done that for spiritual reasons. He's making a mistake here. He didn't seek the Lord on it. Really what he did was said, yeah, we're with you. Politically, it helps. Spiritually, he's unequally yoked now. He's hooked himself up to the wrong team. Ahab, the prophecy was you're going to die and the dogs are going to lick up your blood. Now, that's not someone you want to hang out with. Because God strikes him with lightning and you're too close. Whoa, cancel Christmas and you were there too close. You know, you need to be paying attention to who you're hanging out with. So many times I see people arrested, or I have seen people arrested them myself. I'm a Christian. I wouldn't do anything wrong. You were driving the car. They robbed the 7-Eleven. You're going to jail too. Yeah, but I'm innocent. Well, let's talk about that when you're in jail. You're known, even a child, the Bible says, is known by the company he keeps. You need to choose your affiliations and your friends really wisely. Now, I couldn't do that as a teenager. Teens have an amazing ability to not recognize the difference between right and wrong. They can't seem to do that. I couldn't as a teen. I'm 16 years old. And when you're 16, you pretty much know everything. When I was 18, I did. But I was so close at 16 to knowing everything. Yes, my parents. My parents were so dumb. What amazed me was when I hit about 21, I was impressed at how smart my dad had gotten. Over the last year, I thought, man, you really picked it up. And I'd go home, and my mom and my dad, they were trying to be nice parents. They should have just knocked me over. It works. That's effective on me. They said, you know, that girl that you're hanging out with, we don't like her. But, oh, you just don't like my friends. Well, you should have seen my friends. I'm going to tell you something. I wish you could have heard my friends when adults weren't around. What a bunch of losers. I was right smack in the big middle of them, too. Man, look at that girl over there. And I think, these are cool guys. These are my friends. And then when my mom would say, I don't like their attitude. Mom, you're just you need to know my friends. You'd love them, right? Love them. I wonder what they said when I wasn't around. Those were friends. I just didn't know how to pick them. To tell you the truth, I just hung around the wrong people. Because the others that were nice, well, people laughed at them, made fun of them. And that girl's nice, don't hang around. Oh, that guy, he's weird. He goes to church, man. Be careful who you hang out with, because the Bible specifically says you will become like who you hang out with. You ever listen to your friends when no adults are around, kids? What do they say? How do they talk? What do they think about? How do they treat each other? And then get out of that group if it's not scriptural. Get out. You'll find some others. There's losers like you that'll want to hang around with you. You'll find them. Be careful. Jehoshaphat, you've picked a wrong friend. And Jehoshaphat said, Let's see this. Joseph had said to the king, he said, you know what? I already agreed that we would go, but maybe we should pray about it. See, he's a man of God. He just, for political reasons, thinks he ought to do this. There are times in your life when you do things, not because God said do it, but it looks like what you ought to do. My mom again, she was such a wise girl after I got old. And she would look at me, and I hated cliches, you know, and she would use them. Not well, she was Italian, and she'd get them so confused. I mean, when I grew up, I was a mess. Because I said them the way she said them. And, well, one of them she got right. She would say to me very regularly, if your friends would all jump in the lake, would you? And I would say, well, yes, wouldn't you? She said, no, you're not getting it. You don't understand. They're taking you the wrong way. Jehoshaphat, at least he went for the wrong reasons. But now wisely he says, you know, why don't we inquire of the Lord? Let's pray about this at the word of the Lord. Let's ask the Lord today. I've already agreed to do this, but shouldn't we pray about it? Ahab could care less. He doesn't care. King of Israel says, oh, well, whatever. He gathers the prophets together. 400 men. These are not prophets of Baal. They are not prophets of Ashtaroth. They are not prophets of some weird god. They are prophets of the Lord. But, looks to me like they aren't walking with him. They're men of God. They're not walking with him. And there are 400 of them. And they said to them this, to these 400 official prophets, recognized men of God, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or should I forget about it, forbear? And the prophets said, go on up, for the Lord shall deliver Gilead into your hands, Ramoth Gilead. The Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, let's be honest. Pretend like nobody's looking at you. And I'd like to ask you a question. Now, don't lie. Let's be honest with one another. Come on. If all your friends, you say, you know, I'm thinking about becoming a missionary in Peru. If 400 people told you to go for it, would you? I mean, honestly, would you? Especially if those 400 people were recognized Christians. Some of them might even be pastors or assistant pastors. And all 400, you say, I'm thinking about buying carpeting. And 400, everyone said the same thing. Go for it. Would you do it? Yes, you would. And you'd be wrong in this case. Now you think about that a moment. Brother? Oh, here he comes. I got a word for you from the Lord. Oh, what is it? And here we go. We're funny critters, aren't we? Someone says to you, man, I love your hair green like that. You're walking down the street further and someone says, man, I had a dream about you and your hair was green. What do you go? Confirmation, I should have green hair. 400 men of God said, go fight. The Lord will deliver them into your hands. Would that be enough for you? Something about them doesn't sit right with Jehoshaphat, the king, the good king, the king of the Lord, the good king. And he goes, is there one more? He got 400 men saying the same thing. What do you want, Jehoshaphat? What is your problem? Is there one more, not here, a prophet of the Lord besides these 400 that we could ask him? If you got 401? Now that's an interesting concept when you think about it. Man, everybody I've talked with says, great, good idea, go for it. But you say, I'd like to check again. Do you have one more? I'll be honest with you. If 400 people said, go for it, you might not even think about going for a 401. But these 400 men are wrong. And that ought to scare you some. It ought to make us all really rethink what we think about the Bible and what we think about God and what we think about everything that's going on around us? Is it possible that all sorts of men and women of God warning you about this, that, and the other, is it possible that they might be wrong? And they've got you standing on your head because it's going to be better for you, and they might be wrong? Whoa, think about it. He says, is there one more that we could check with, just one more? You got 400? Well, can we get one more? Is there one more around? The king said, yeah, there's one man. His name's Micaiah. He's the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him. That's what the Bible says. I don't like that man. Because he doesn't ever prophesy anything good about me. Every time you ask him about me and God, he's always, it's bad. Ahab is bad. He has been told he's going to die. He said, I don't like that guy. Joseph has said to the king, don't let the king say so. Joseph says, king, don't talk that way about somebody. I love it. 400 guys say, go. Joseph says, you know, something isn't sitting right here. Is there one more? Yeah, we got one more. By the way, we've got him locked up. And he never prophesies anything good about me. Always says bad things, so I don't like to ask him. I hate him. King of Israel called an officer and said, hurry up and go get Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, verse 10, they sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, so they're now in their kingly attire, in an empty place by the gate, which is where, of course, a lot of meetings, big meetings would take place, at the gate of the city. And all the prophets, all 400, prophesied before them. Now that was probably an interesting noise. You got 400 guys all talking. And Zedekiah, the son of his dad, made him horns of iron. He made him horns of iron. He said, now one guy, 400 guys are all saying, go for it, get up to the battle, go, you could beat them, you could take these guys in your street clothes. We prayed about it. This I'm hearing from God, do it, do it. And one guy makes horns and is running around butting people, you know, with his horns. He says, thus saith the Lord, with these you're going to push the Syrians till you've consumed them. You're going to gore them. I'm thinking, if you were sitting there as king, you'd be going, oh, I'm so ashamed. These guys acting like, you know, 400 of them, and then one's got little horns butting the other ones, and I'm thinking, no. No wonder people don't want to be Christians anymore. They're afraid that God's going to make them make little horns and go around shoving people, and you think, I don't want to, I'm embarrassed, I don't want to be. That's not what Christianity's all about, but that's what people see today. And all the prophets, all of them, all 400, with one guy butting everybody, says, they prophesied saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands. They're out there in the open, and it's just like a show. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah, he spoke to Micaiah. He went to get him in the prison. He said, I really want to do you a favor, buddy. Now, I know what you think, and I've kind of heard you talking. I got some advice. Now, you could take it or leave it, but here's some advice for you. Listen, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. All 400 are telling the king good news. Let your words, I pray thee, be like theirs, and speak that which is good. Now, just putting a little bug in his ear, saying, just go with the flow. You're always in trouble, man. Just this one time, just this once, all 400 are saying the same thing. Couldn't you too? Christians, no matter what age are you, you ever feel that kind of pressure? Pastors feel it quite a bit. And it's heavy, and you carry it. Because see, all the other churches in town have candles. And people come and say, man, you know, if you could, can you get one candle? And you think, well, candle, what could that possibly hurt me? Candle. You know, for the youth, can you do this? For the adults, can you do this? And all the others do this. You know, we're really getting tired of Bible study. Well, we love the Lord. It's not that. You're judging me, brother. But you know, for your own good, Markiah, could you say the right thing? Micaiah said, as the, verse 14, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord says to me, that's what I will say to them. As the Lord saith to me, that is what I will speak. Troublemaker. So he came to the king, and the king said to him, all right, Micaiah, you know, you can see the king. He's not even happy he's there. Okay, fine. Shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forget about it? Micaiah answered, said, go and prosper. The Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. That's what all the others said. But the king could see in Micaiah's face and probably in his voice could hear. King said to him, how many times am I going to order you that you tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Stop goofing. Tell me the truth. Interesting, he knew. Oh yeah, they said, go on up, go on up. No, come on, Micaiah, let's hear it. One thing that clues me that you're not telling the truth is you never say anything like that to me. You never say nice. So, Micaiah got real serious here, real instantly, and said in verse 17, I saw all of Israel scattered on the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. What did Micaiah just say? I've got a vision. And what I see is the armies of Israel scattered on the mountains as a sheep with no shepherd. There's no leader. They've got no leader. God says, send them all home. Their leader's gone. What does that mean? You're going to die in that battle if you go. You will die. And the armies will scatter and head back to their villages and their homes. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he was going to prophesy no good concerning me? I told you. See, it was a waste of time to bring him out here. 400 guys told us they were praying. They loved the Lord. They were prophets. They got the job. They're telling him to do this. He goes, didn't I tell you? You could just hear the frustration. And Micaiah interrupts and says, wait. Listen, therefore, to the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord. Here's another vision from the prophet of God. He was sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. He was surrounded by the angels. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and die at Ramoth Gilead? And one of them spoke on this manner, one of them spoke on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, how? Verse 22, I'll go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now you say, boy, I don't even know. I'm not sure if I like God after seeing what God did there. Then you didn't see what God just did there. You missed it. Think about that a second. Micaiah, tell me the truth. Okay. I saw Israel's sheep without a shepherd. They're scattered. Leader's gone. You're going to die there if you go. I told you, he never says anything nice to me. Listen, let me tell you a vision. It's like a little parable. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne surrounded. And the deal is there a way to get Ahab to go up to his own destruction? And one of them comes up with a plan. Yeah, I'll become a lying spirit in the mouth of all 400 of his prophets. And he'll listen to them. And you say, why did God do that? Doesn't God like Ahab? God loves Ahab. He's just proved it to you. Stop and think about it a moment. If God didn't like Ahab, he wouldn't even warn him. He wouldn't let Micaiah say a thing. He'd just let the 400 prophets send Ahab up. But God is saying, if you go, you'll die. Don't go. That's mercy. Now, some of you, right now, you're living a life that is out of God's will. You just plain don't care. Just like Ahab. You just don't care. You're going to do your own thing. But notice how merciful God is. He still sends people along, and they're still telling you things that are good for you to hear, even if you don't want to. You never say things that are nice to me. You're always telling me that religious junk. Just Jesus, that's all it is. I'm not interested in that. But the answer is Jesus. I don't even want to hear it, but that's the truth. You remember Job chapters 1 and 2? Satan comes into the presence of the Lord in heaven. Where have you been? I've been walking to and fro on the earth. What does 1 Peter 5, 8 tell us? Your adversary, the devil, as a lion, walks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Where you been, Satan? Walking to and fro. Just checking out people, seeing who I can mess up. God says, hey, have you checked out my servant Job? I always say, Lord, don't mention my name. Don't mention my name. Keep it on everybody else. And Satan says, yeah, I've been noticing Job, yeah. God says, you see what an upright man he is, and he loves me. Satan says, oh yeah, he loves you. He's rich and he's got kids, he's got everything you want. Who wouldn't love you? Take it away from him, he'll curse you to your face. What did God say? Take it. But I won't allow you to touch his body. Think about it a moment. See, Satan really is on a leash. And he is accomplishing God's will. In your life, right now, things are going on. And you say, why is God allowing this to happen? Number one, to strengthen you, to teach you, to prove to Satan he's got no chance at all. These things are going on. And the angels watch you, the Bible says, and they marvel at your faith. They marvel at you. The angels are amazed when you do God's will. It freaks them out. They don't understand it because they know, they see how weak we are, and they just marvel and praise God and glorify God when they see God's children serving Him simply because they love Him. And here's an opportunity for Ahab, as ugly and as evil as he has been, an opportunity to now humble himself and say, okay, Micaiah, I'm going to listen to you. Even though I don't like what you're saying, I'm going to listen. His life would have been spared. He's got a choice to make here. What's he going to do? Micaiah seriously says, this is what God said. Well, let me tell you, let's put it in English. To the 400 of you who were saying go, Micaiah just said, every one of you is a liar. There's a lying spirit in your mouth. You're a liar and you don't even know it. How would that make you feel? Well, let's read on. He says, therefore, verse 23, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all 400 of these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning you. God has allowed them all to lie to you, but God is telling you out loud right now that every one of them is lying. What are you going to do about it? That's mercy. You say, why is God so mean? That's merciful. God has allowed them to lie and then turn around and say to you, no, I'm telling you, all those people that are directing you are lying. What are you going to do, Ahab? What else does he... You know, many times he sets me up and then he explains to me that I've been set up. Now, Bob, I'm telling you that that's not the way to go. What are you going to do? And I go, I'll go that way anyway. And then smash. And what do I say? Lord, why did you let this happen to me? Oh, I had to... You don't love me. And he says, I told you, go the other way. I know, but I didn't want to. And pegging the wah meter. Wah! How many of you are doing that? He has specifically shown you. He has shown you, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to love mercy and to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And if we're not doing those, he keeps saying, come on, come on. He says to Ahab, I'm telling you now, they're all lying to you. What will you do about it? Well, when he says the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, well, Zedekiah, the one with the horns, remember? He went near and he slapped Micaiah on the face. He was offended. What do you mean I'm lying? Smack! And he goes, since when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me and speak to you? Woo. There's two men of God going to get into fisticuffs now. But you notice, Micaiah doesn't have to defend what he just said. You know why? Yes, you do. Because Ahab obviously was more concerned about feeling good than wanting to know the truth. So are most people today, more concerned about feeling good than knowing the truth. And then when something like Littleton, Colorado happens, everybody wants answers. You've been telling them for years and years and years, but when it hits them in the face, they want to feel better about it. It's sad and they want to feel better. The answer is Jesus Christ. What the world needs is Jesus, not more laws. Bad people are still going to do bad things. They need Jesus. Laws won't stop criminals from doing anything. That's what makes them criminals. You know that. Nobody's thinking logically. By the way, if you hadn't heard, the news reported this. That girl's name was Cassie that was shot. The news reported specifically, and you can go back and read it, the young man with the gun, when he entered in and saw her, he said, "Do you believe in God?" And she stood up and said, "Yes, I do." And he shot her. That's not the truth. One of the witnesses, one of the children that was in there, specifically said, he asked her, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And she stood up and said, "Yes, I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." News didn't want to print that. See, people don't want to hear it. A pastor, after going to that funeral, a pastor who somebody needs to smack, he said, and I felt like I was hit over the head with Jesus when I walked in there. That's all we heard, Jesus. That's a pastor. That's why we're in trouble. See, it's not legislation we need. It's Jesus Christ that we need. Littleton, Colorado knows it because Jesus' name is on signs and on markers all around that city. Many more Christians were involved in that than everybody wants us to know. It's kind of neat. So he slaps Micaiah on the cheek, says, "Now when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me and speak to you?" And Micaiah did not fight back. This is what he answered. "Behold, you shall see in that day when you shall go into an inner chamber to hide yourself. When war comes upon your city, you will run and hide and you will realize." In other words, if I'm speaking of the Lord, I don't need to fight you back. Time will tell. Micaiah says, "You can put me in prison, you can laugh at me, say anything you want, but time is going to tell who is speaking from the Lord." Zedekiah says, "When did the Spirit of the Lord leave me and start talking to you?" Time is going to tell who the Lord is speaking to. You know, we got trouble coming, everybody says. You know how you're going to know? Time's going to tell, isn't it? Time will tell what trouble's coming. I think we're going to be shocked to see what's going on. The king of Israel said this, "Take Micaiah, carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. Say, thus say the king, put this fellow in prison, feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction till I come in peace." Go lock him in the prison, feed him bread and water, and that's all. "Till I go to war and come back, we'll show he's wrong." And Micaiah said, "If you return at all in peace, if you come back in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." So Micaiah simply said it. If the king comes back in peace, the Lord hasn't spoken through me. Time is going to tell on this. So send me to prison, lock me away, and we'll all see. And he says to the people, "People, watch and see." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, they went to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I'm going to disguise myself. And I'm going to enter into the battle. But you put on your robes." Now, see, Ahab's no dummy. They're going to be looking for the king. "Dress up, king. You look good in those robes. And you sit up there and I'll go disguise myself and I'll be part of the battle." What a louse. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that rule over his chariot, saying, "Fight, neither with small nor great. All I want you to do is kill the king of Israel." Now, who's dressed up like a king? The good guy. See what happens when you pick the wrong friends? See who gets set up? See who gets in trouble? See who ends up? Yeah, it happens all the time. Trust me, I remember. And so, Came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, he's dressed like a king, they said, hey, it's got to be the king of Israel, let's go get him. So they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out, yeah, or whatever he yelled, probably for help from some of the troops. I know what I'd be yelling. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots figured out that it was not the king of Israel, they turned and left him alone. Remember, their orders were to kill the king of Israel. When they saw it was Jehoshaphat, they quit attacking. They quit running after him. And as a matter of fact, verse 34 says, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture. Now, let me say that in American. He probably had one arrow left. The battle's been going. They're winning the battle. Israel's kind of scattering. He's got one arrow left, and he's thinking, I don't know, man, this battle's going. And he takes it. He drew a bow at a venture, meaning he put it on, and he just kind of shot it into out there. There's people out there. It was an accident. Not according to God's will, but according to the guy that was shooting his arrow. He just took it and shot it. Thinking, I might go into the crowd somewhere. A certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. That means there's a breastplate and there's a little stomach protection, and that arrow just hit in between those two and went right on in. What a bummer, huh? I mean, he wasn't even aiming. He's just shooting into the air. I got one left. I'm out of ammo. We're about done anyway. You and I call that a coincidence. It's an accident. I mean, he didn't mean to kill the king, but he killed the king. You're not going to get away from God. You can run, but you can't hide. You know, when it's God, when God is after you, best just to stop and lay down and play dead or something. I mean, you're just not going to get away. The best thing to do is to repent now while you're not in the heat of battle. Now, when the true voice of God speaks to your own heart saying, turn and come with me. Get right. I see people, when a tragedy happens like Littleton, then people get serious about God. And I think, oh, how sad. Because if that's all that, you know, something goes wrong in my life and I'm serious, then if that's what you need, then you better prepare for a rough life, because God's going to go, oh, if that's all it's going to take, we'll have you messed up all the time. And I'm thinking, not me, I'll just follow you now, I don't need none of that. Don't need people coming in shooting up the neighborhood just to get my attention. Let's just do it the easy way. I'll drag you. Just, you got my attention now. No bullets. No hand grenades. I'll just look. But some of you, and a tragedy happens, and you're brokenhearted, and everybody comes around you and pats you on the back, and you're saying, oh, I'm with the Lord. Don't you worry. I'm with the Lord. And 3 weeks later, you forgot all that, because now the shark's not on your tail no more. And you're not with the Lord. You're just doing your own thing. Whatever. Yeah, that's cool. Then somebody else will suffer. Some other tragedy. And you'll be going, what is God doing? Doesn't He love me? I mean, I obey Him. You've forgotten what you're really like. And God's just simply saying, come on home. Come on, turn around and come back where you belong. Well, He said this. Certain man drew a bow at venture, smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said to the driver, turn your hand, get me out of here, I'm wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king stayed upright in the chariot, so that people wouldn't see that he was wounded. He stayed upright. They drove him out, and he died in the evening. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. So there was blood all over the chariot now. Now remember, God said that the dogs would lick up his blood. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city, every man to his own country. Remember, they were out there as sheep without a shepherd, and the Lord said, send them back to their cities. Remember that vision that Micaiah had? Look what's going on. So the king died. He was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one took the chariot down by the pool of Samaria and washed it out. And what happened? The dogs licked up his blood. They washed his armor according to the word of the Lord, which spoke. Remember, God said, that's how it's going to be for you, Ahab, because you refuse to turn. God says to me and you, you refuse to listen to me. Suffering will follow that. Danger, trouble, frustration, misery. You get sort of close, you back off. You get sort of close, you back off. We are playing with fire, is what we're doing. Thinking that He won't keep His word. He loves you, but He will keep His word. He holds His word up above His name. He honors his word above his name. He will always keep his word. Don't play with the Lord. Ahab died, was buried. Ahaziah, the son, reigned in his stead, in his place. Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mom's name was Azubah, the daughter of Silhi. And he walked in the ways of his father, and he did not turn aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense in the high places. He was a good king, but he didn't take away the false worship, the high places. Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed, how he warred, they're written in the book of Chronicles, kings of Judah. And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father, Asa, he took them out of the land. The homosexuals were driven out of the land. Then there was no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they didn't go, for the ships were broken. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ships." But Jehoshaphat wouldn't do it. Remember the beginning of the chapter? He made a political bargain with someone he shouldn't have been hooked up with. And he learned the hard way, this guy got me killed. He dressed me up like king. He set me up. I almost got killed here. I'm not going to hook up again politically for good reasons. It's got to be spiritual. It's got to be right before the Lord. And he was unequally yoked the first time. And he said, no, the second time. No, I'm not going to hook up with you. You know, people could say, well, you're bad, you're this, you're that, you're not. Just listen, stick with the word of God. And that's what this guy finally does. And Jehoshaphat died and was buried with his fathers there in the city of David, his father. Jehoram reigned, his son reigned in his place. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother, Jezebel and Ahab. And in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord to anger according to all that his father had done. God gives us the story of Ahab, who had so many super opportunities to turn. You would think Ahab was just too bad. He's just too evil. He's just too gross. You would think that it could never happen for a guy like that. But all along in these last few chapters, you've seen God say, come on, turn around. God gave him every opportunity. And when he still couldn't care less at all about what God had to say, God still lovingly said, I'm telling you, these 400 are lying. Listen to me instead, and you will be saved. Tonight, as we're going to share communion, some of you aren't doing what God wants you to do. Listen to His Word. He loves you and He is warning you. You turn now. Come with me now. Don't go that way. Trouble is out there. Stay with the Lord. Let's bow our heads together as the praise band comes back up. The ushers will hand out communion. Hold the bread and the cup until we all get it together, and then we'll take it together. But let's just worship a bit and let's listen to God. Anything that the Lord tells you to do, do that. If He says that you're harboring an attitude in your heart that doesn't belong, whatever it is, don't fight with Him. Confess it. If there is someone that you have not forgiven for anything, doesn't matter whether they are right or not, let God deal with it. You forgive them. Get it out. Get it away from you. Leave it alone. Get right with the Lord your God before we share communion together, and walk with Him from this moment on. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we worship You. Our hearts are really to follow You, but we sure can make a mess of things. Pressure, peer pressure, friend pressure, pressure of trying to keep up, pressure of trying to look like something else. Instead, Lord, what we want is the peace that passes all understanding, that simply comes by listening to You. Fill us with Your Spirit as we prepare our hearts to share communion, Lord. Speak to our hearts. If there's something that doesn't belong, Lord, we want to just give it to you. Repent of it, confess it, and get rid of it. Lord, hear our prayer and answer as we worship in Jesus' name.